Hey, Andrea, welcome to my podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm so happy to have you here. I actually haven't seen you in a long time. So, I knew you from the show, actually. So I came back. I was in Spain, and I came back to D.C., and I met you through mutual friends, and we just hit it off. So I'm so grateful that I've been able to, like, catch up with you, at least virtually, because I haven't been able to see you in person in, like, how long? Couple months,
probably. Yeah, a couple months, probably not since October, maybe.
Damn. And we met just when did we meet? Like,
I know it was Pride. I know it was right after Pride.
July, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was definitely July because we hung out for my birthday.
Yeah. I remember. I was in Spain, and my good friend Jackie and Chispa were out after, like, the show came out. And they sent me a picture of you, and they're like, "You got to meet Andrea. She works for the Washington Spirit soccer team." And I was super pumped. So when I came back, we hung out and we just hit it off. And you were doing, like, you were the strength coach, right, for the women's team here.
Yeah.
And now you left us. Now you left us. We miss you so much. I know, but I wanted, like, you know, you have such an amazing story. Like, there's so much about you that. You know, one, I admire, I think I've told you that so many times, but I wanted people to hear your story and whatever you want to share, because I think at least one person can relate. Many people will look up to you. So I kind of just wanted to ask you, like, a little bit about yourself, like your background, where you're from, how you ended up in DC, like what you've done, whole, you know, baseball world and everything you've, like, accomplished so far. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so to touch on my career, I think we have to go way back and just point out the fact that sports have always been a part of my life. And at some point, they were my life. Like, that's all I ever did. And I thank my dad for it, because I have two older brothers, right? And so there was never a, oh, no, she can't do this because she's a girl. It's like, no, if your brother's doing it, you're doing it, right? So it's... It was that playing field that really let me just really think about anything that I wanted to be. And so I played collegiate volleyball. And the reason why I was really interested in a scholarship is because we're an immigrant family and my parents didn't have the means to put me through college. And so I knew that if I wanted to get out of El Paso, where I'm from, that I needed to come up with a way to, you know, scholarship. And so I went on a athletic and academic scholarship full ride to New Mexico Highlands, where I played collegiate volleyball. And there, nice. Like, I'm tall compared to you guys.
Yeah, you are tall.
But I am not tall in the sports world, okay? Especially,
like, I have not seen that many tall Mexican women.
I know, yeah. And I'm, like, normal size in my family. You know, my brothers are tall and my dad's tall. And so it's just,
yeah,
like,
you guys are,
like,
super tall. But your mom's not that tall.
My mom's not that tall, but her side of the family is still, like, a decent size. Oh, some of them. Yeah.
So they're, like, athletes, basically.
Yeah. And, well, it's because, like, in volleyball, I was so short, so I had to find, like, my competitive edge to be able to play.
How were you short?
I was literally the second shortest on my team, you know?
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
5'8"? I mean, 5'8"'s, like, decent. I wish I was 5'8". I feel like I'm so small. Like, every time we hung out, I was like, damn, I wish I was your height.
Yeah, no. So, you know, I was lucky enough that I had a really good strength conditioning coach in college. And so the training that he put us through really helped me be able to compete at a high level. So when he put me through all that training, I was like, I actually really enjoyed, like, doing this. And so I did an internship in Houston in 2014. Oh my God, that was a decade.
How old are you right now?
I'm 30.
You're 30? You're 30.
We're gonna just lay it out.
Not even old. What?
It's just when I hear 2014 and I realize that was a decade ago, that makes me feel really old.
No. Time goes by too fast.
I know.
But you're still young. You're still young.
Okay, we'll go with that.
We're still young. I feel like I'm 70. I know.
And so with the internship, you know, I did it at a place called Dynamic Sports Training. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do it because my older brother had just been hired as an architect in Houston. So I went to go live with him for a summer and was able to go through that. But the internship was unpaid. So I would go through
Oh.
internship from like 5:30 to 2 o'clock, and then I would go be a server at a Tex-Mex restaurant from like 4 to 10, right? Four to
Damn
nine,
right.
depending.
Who'd you live with? You were living with your parents or
My brother in
alone?
Houston.
Oh, in Houston. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so then, it was a really hard summer, but I loved it. Like I fell in love with strength conditioning. So then, the owner of the company became my mentor and we stayed in contact. And, after college, I was supposed to go back to Houston and work for him, but like life happened, so I wasn't
Right,
able
right,
to.
right, right.
And so we stayed in contact, he still sent me stuff that I needed to study and whatnot. And in 20, I graduated college in 2015 and I was living in Hawaii. And in 2017, he
How do you
called
say Hawaii?
Hawaii, because I was
Hawaii?
corrected about 10,000 times when I lived there. And they're like, "That's not how you say it." And I was like, "I'm sorry."
Think I was like, is that like legit how you say
Yeah, Hawaii.
Hawaii?
Yeah.
So you lived there
Yeah.
for how long?
2 years and a half.
Oh my God, that was probably like incredible.
It was incredible. Yeah. I wouldn't go back just because, like, it's so far out there for my family. But it was so nice.
Damn, I bet.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, I cut you off though.
No, you're fine. And so then, 2017, he calls me and he tells me that he was hired by the Los Angeles Angels, and which is
What?
Major League Baseball team. And he was like, "Do you want to work for a professional baseball team?" I was like, "Bro, where do I sign? Like, are you kidding me?"
You're like, I'm already here.
I know. And so then went through
Yeah.
the whole interview process. And when they hired me, I became the first Latina strength conditioning coach in the history of professional baseball. And so,
Damn. I remember you telling me that. I was like, this is incredible. About a year and a half ago, like, you don't see like Latina women, especially, like in our community that do that
Yeah,
get to that level
exactly.
in sports, that's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. And so I did 3 years with the Angels. And my second year, I won Strength Conditioning Coach of the Year for the Arizona League. And
Damn.
I became the first Latina to win that, that award. And
That's
so,
sick.
oh, absolutely. And so when I first started in baseball, I was the second slash third woman. Just female strength conditioning coach overall, okay, in the history.
Wow.
And
In the history
so,
of baseball.
yes. And so, 3 years with the Angels, I went on to work for the San Francisco Giants as the assistant coordinator of Latin America, which was amazing. It was so much fun.
You have to
And
travel, right?
yeah, I had to travel between
Wow.
Arizona, the Dominican Republic, and then throughout other parts of the Caribbean with the scouts, because that was also part of my job. So I got to go to Aruba and like other parts of Dominican. It was great. It was so much fun. It's just,
Wow.
obviously being Mexican, soccer was my
Yeah.
first, and so when the opportunity came about with the Spirit, I was like, that kind of brings me full circle to the first sport that I fell in love with. And so
Yeah.
I decided to take on the opportunity, and that's how I ended up in DC.
In DC. Wow. Did you find like a difference in how you were treated between, an all-male sport basically versus a female sport like the Washington Spirit? Like, were you treated differently? Could you tell like they looked or like, I don't know, looked at you differently or
I think the biggest
you were female?
difference. Yeah, I think the biggest difference that I found in baseball as opposed to with football, soccer, is that in baseball, I was a lot of the times the only woman, whereas in
Right.
football, I was not the only woman, but I was the only Latina. And that was much harder because being the only brown, female around, like it can, like in those type of environments, you can start feeling a little like out of place. Like, do I even
Yeah.
go here? Like, is this even a place that I want to be? And it could have nothing to do with the way they're treating
Right.
it. It's like culturally, it's
You just found a place.
right, yeah. And so I was really blessed that I had another Latino with on staff, but as a Latina, I was the only one, you know. So I think that
Why? Like, why do you think that is?
I
Like, why are
think
there no like Latinas in soccer?
honestly, I think it starts from the root, right? I think it starts with like exposing, you know, females in general,
Right.
you know, a general idea of like actually that strength conditioning is important for females as much as it is for males. And so
Right.
obviously, like boys start training with weights way younger than females do because females get told
Right.
that they're gonna look manly and all this stuff. And so I think it starts there, just stating the importance of the fact that like weight training is important for all, and then
Right.
more for athletes, both female and male. And then once you take it a step further, you know, as Latinos, we're minorities. So it's
Yeah.
like lifting programs and training and speed, all that type of training is really expensive.
Right.
So like,
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, did you have any player? Because you're talking just basically like the staff, right? That there weren't any Latina women, but like the players, were there Latina women?
there we had one. Yeah,
What? Where was she from?
she was from California and her dad is Mexican, so like it was
Wow.
really like that was really fun to have her and to be able to like just talk
Yeah.
with her and whatnot. But
Yeah.
yeah, I think, and then you take it up to like actual football. Like football here in the United States is so expensive to play. Latin America, you grab a ball, you put, you know,
Yeah.
you decide to put two rocks on this side, two rocks on that side, you gather up the people from the hood and you go to play,
Yeah.
you know? So it's
Well,
like
same as baseball. I mean, you just grab like a the stick from the broom and you just go out back and hit, you know, hit balls. Like I think I never thought about that, I think, before I talked to you, like how expensive that sport, you know, and we can go further and like there are other sports that are just the same, like skiing or even swimming, like things like that that you don't find a lot of minorities in, and it sucks. Like I think that there should be opportunities for everybody, but I didn't realize I was never into soccer, so like I never realized it was such an expensive sport. But
Well, yeah,
I
it's
guess
super expensive. I mean, I was
why?
lucky enough that with volleyball, I was like on a scholarship whenever I
Right.
played travel ball. And by playing travel ball is how I was seen and how I was offered a scholarship to go to college. So had I
Right.
not been on a scholarship for that AAU team, I would have never been seen because my parents couldn't afford that. And so it was like,
Yeah.
you know, you by making things so expensive, you make it so much more inaccessible for, you know, minority communities. And unfortunately, that's the reality of it. So it's like, that's the root of it.
It's all about money. Everything's about money. Well, I bet your parents are, I mean, they must be like extremely proud of you and super happy you're back, like closer to home than out here in DC, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. So then I like to your listeners, like I can tell you that now I am no longer with the Washington Spirit because back in November I accepted a position with the UFC as a strength and conditioning coordinator in Mexico City.
That's so badass. So Mexico City. So you're like, and you're, where's your family from in Mexico?
So my dad is from Durango, Durango, and my mom is from Ciudad Juárez.
And
And
how far are they from Mexico City?
so Juárez is like 24 hours away because it's obviously around the border. But
4 hours away? Holy shit.
Durango, I want to say, is about 12, if I'm not
Oh my
mistaken.
God. That's insane.
It's because Mexico
Mexico's
City.
huge. It's so big. So you're where are you right now?
I'm in Vegas right now, so I'm doing 2 weeks here in Vegas at the
Damn.
headquarters for the UFC, and then I'm heading down to Mexico City.
And I know you can't, I mean that's, you know, I'm so psyched for you, like when you told me that, and I'm so excited to see what you're gonna do, and I love UFC, like, but when are we, I mean, are we gonna see you fighting or what?
Oh no. I mean,
Yeah.
you know what's funny though? Whenever I've done a previous podcast, they've asked me like, what would be your dream job outside of like strength and conditioning? If like in a perfect
Is it
world,
fighting?
I always said MMA fighting.
What? You should get into it.
Yeah. No chance
I'm
for
just,
you, man. I'm like,
oh my.
with my best friend.
Wait, but this is like a stupid question, but is it UFC like male or is it or females as well?
Both.
Is it everybody? You're doing both. Wow. And then how many other Latina women in your team or that you know of, or can you say?
Well, within the UFC, there are Latino women, and obviously there is Latino fighters. So the
Yeah.
both, yeah.
Wow. I mean, and you, how do you feel? Like, I feel like you said you went full circle to the soccer team here in DC. And now, like, was UFC ever a thing? Like, did you ever think about doing UFC? Did you ever dream about it? Or is it just an opportunity that you thought was just, you couldn't pass up?
Yeah, it was an opportunity that came up, and I've always been a fan. If anybody who knows
Yeah.
like UFC, Cain Velasquez was a big Mexican fighter, and I started watching the UFC back in the day when he was fighting. And this was back in like, I don't know, I'd be like
Wow.
28, 20, oh, god damn, I don't even know what year.
How old were you?
2008, probably. I was probably like 17 or something. What is that? Nobody do the math. I'm just guessing at
My God.
but it was a really long time ago since I was always a big fan.
Yeah.
My family, obviously being Mexican, we love fighting, we love boxing. So it's like, it's just an opportunity that came up, and it
Yeah.
being Mexico City and allowing me to go back to my home country, I was like, I have to go for this. Like, I have to. And
So
yeah,
amazing.
I'm
And when
just
do you start? Like you're in Vegas right now doing training. Are you
Yeah.
able to go out of Vegas and then, have fun, or is it just like all work?
Yeah, so not during the week, right? But like we have the weekend off, and I was telling my coworkers, I was like, one day I gotta rage, bro. Because
Okay.
I got here Saturday and I went out and I went to one of the gay bars, and by myself, I was out till 2 in the morning.
Did you?
By myself, I was
You
like,
have fun?
vibing, I was just having some drinks, vibing, and I was like, if I can get just one person to come out with me next Saturday, I was like, we'll stay out all night. Oh, my
I mean, Vegas is Vegas. I mean, you gotta have a good time while you're there.
God.
Hell
100%.
yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you identify as?
As far as,
Like sexuality.
well, I mean, I'm bisexual, but I prefer just say queer, because
Right.
then obviously, even like within the gay community, bisexuals are seen as like confused. So I'm like, no, I'm not confused. Trust me. I was like,
No, it's such a it's one of those subjects that everyone has like their own opinions about. But so you're a queer woman. How do you find that, like, has that been an issue in the line of work that you've been through?
I wouldn't say it's an issue. I just think that you're constantly having to come out because, like, I'm not queer presenting enough. I don't know, whatever that, people think that queer people look like. I don't know. So it's like you're just constantly having to come out to people, and like,
Yeah.
and then you never know what kind of reactions you're gonna get, so you kind of also always have to be ready for that. So I think that
Yeah.
it's been just like, not a struggle, but I think it's become a thing where
Like
you're
an obstacle. Yeah.
That you just kind of have to just go right through every time that it gets to
Like
that.
it's always a thing. It's like it's so annoying. Like, and I do because I know listeners are that they want to know, and basically I forgot to ask in the beginning. But it's a thing that in sports, like, I'm always curious about. You started with like an all baseball, all male sport. Like, I'm curious like how that affected you, if it did in any way, and then going to all female, and now UFC is kind of both. So it's like you're living in this sports world that, a lot of people don't come out. A lot of athletes don't come out. Men especially, you get like looked down upon, and they get hate, and people suck, and they judge us for being what we are, which it always does. So I was curious about that. And the listeners probably want to know if you're like single or in a relationship too.
Oh man, my phone is so dry that the only person that ever sends me is
Oh
my fucking brother. Every day I have to, I'm like, bro, go to sleep. Like,
But you just moved. I mean, you're like in transition, you're going to a new city. I mean, you gotta keep your options open.
Yeah, I'm
You know what I
single.
mean?
I'm honestly not even, I don't think I'm in a position to even be open to
Yeah.
for right now, just because I'm in such a weird spot where, like, let's say I was to go meet someone in Vegas, and it's like, well, I'm leaving. So it's like,
Yeah.
so I'm very much just looking forward to being in Mexico City, scoping out the scene there, and just living my life. But
Nice. And when are you getting there?
I'm getting there like mid-February.
Nice. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, this is probably not going to come out until then, so you'll be there already when you listen.
Yeah.
And then how are your like I know we haven't talked about this yet, but did you come out to your parents like when you were younger, or was it a thing when you were older? Like
No.
what's
So my first girlfriend was when I was 15 years old, right? And
Okay.
so it was always the best friend, but
Yeah.
and it's like, it's very
Yeah.
obvious. They knew. They kept turning like a blind eye to it because they didn't want,
I
and
don't want to accept it. Accept the truth.
right. And that was when I was 15, okay? They didn't ask me till I was 17. So it's a senior year of high school.
Really?
Okay, yeah, it's senior year of high school. There was another girl at the time, and I had been with her for like at least a year or so at
This
that
was
point.
another girlfriend at 17?
Yeah, the 15-year-old,
Damn,
I
girl.
was like, she was crazy, and I was like, damn, okay, I got my
You're like,
life.
I'm over here.
Yeah, I was like, we're good.
Yeah.
But I guess you could say, like, long-term girlfriend in high school, same thing, right? Best friend, or she would come over at her house, whatnot. And one time, like, they just called me into their bedroom, my parents, and they're like, we have to ask you something. And I was like, okay. And as
Both
soon
of
as
them together.
Yeah, and I was like, as soon as they said,
Yeah.
let me ask you something, I knew it was coming. Like, I knew it was coming. I started sweating. I honestly started like shaking. And my dad was like, are you lesbian? And I was like, well, here it goes, right? I was like, if you ask me, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm like, so if you
Yeah.
you come looking for answers, I'm gonna give them to you. And I remember I just nodded my head. He's like, you are. And I was like, yeah. And he went off. And this is crazy because you've met my dad. My dad is
Yeah, he was so cool.
amazing. Okay. But
Yeah.
it took him a minute to get to the point that he is at now. And so he went as deep as like, you're dead to me, you're a disgrace. Are you recruiting people? You're disgust. I mean, everything under the sun that you think he might have told me, he did. Like,
Yeah.
to make this story short. And
So sad.
so it was bad.
What
And
about
so,
your mom? Was she also like on the same page as him?
well, I think my mom was in shock. And so I, and maybe this is me defending her, but she was in the room. And so she was more like just listening to what was happening in front of her. She
Right.
wasn't engaging. And my dad kicked me out of the house. My dad was like, grab your shit and get the fuck out. And I
Right
was
then and there, he said, grab your shit and get out.
like, all right. And I went into my room, I started packing my stuff, and my mom came into the room, and she was like, look, I don't understand it, but you're my daughter and I love you and I'm gonna support you. And so then she gave me this big hug. We cried it out. And then she went back into the room with my dad and was like, she's not leaving. This is my house, blah, blah. And I was like, no, nah, I'm leaving. I was like, that man just,
You're already mad. You're like, I'm getting out. Like, I don't want to be in the house with him.
Yeah. So then I have been extremely blessed that my whole life I've been surrounded by amazing, amazing people. And so,
Yeah.
when I started texting people and letting them know that I had been kicked out of my house because my parents found out that I was gay, they were like, stay with us, stay with us. And everybody started popping out, you can stay with us, you can stay with us. We'll come grab you, let us know when you're ready, blah, blah. And I was just like, I felt so blessed in that moment. And I decided to
Yeah.
stay with one of my good friends because they lived really close to the high school, so I could just walk there. And
Okay.
so I stayed with them, oh God, I want to say maybe about a month.
Wow. What about your girlfriend? Like, you can stay with, was she out or?
She was not out, and she lived really far.
Okay.
Far. And so, and that's another story. When her mom
Oh,
found
shit.
out, I won't say the religion, but like she was very religious and she read us the Bible. I thought she was
Oh,
among us, and I was like, oh my God. Oh, I got my shit and I left. But I stayed with my friend for about a month, you know, and I was really blessed that his mom was just the most amazing woman and took care of me for a month, you know, because I was homeless. And
yeah.
so
Wow.
finally my mom called me and she's like, you need to come back. And I was like, well, do I? Because you guys don't want me there. And she just said, like, no, like your dad, like he needs to get out. Which here's a hilarious story. My dad said like he hated me and he didn't want nothing to do with me on all that stuff, right? This volleyball season. That man would go to my games incognito, okay? Pretty glasses.
Because he loved you.
It was hilarious. And he would
Was he
sit.
like on the corner with a hat and like just like all like glasses of shit?
Everybody knows. That's you. Like everybody knows you. Like we know it's you. So it was just hilarious because I'm like, haha, you can't hate me.
Oh.
And so then, you know, it was a really bad situation.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that like my dad had treated me like that. Like everybody that knows him and knows my relationship with him knows like we're super close. To this day, we're super close. Like, and so it's just part of our story.
Wow.
Just a very small part of our story.
When did
And
that change? Like, when did he become, accepting who you are?
I think it was really like little by little, but I think when he
Yeah.
was like, okay, I kind of give up, it's because I got married. And so I got married to
So, a
complete
girl, a woman, yeah.
yeah. And it was someone that they had known for years. I'd known her since, high
What?
school. And we, we did AAU basketball together. She went to one high school, went to another, and whenever we would have the same track meets, like me, her, and my dad would hang out, like because she was a really good friend of mine before we became a thing. And so,
Always a good friend.
oh yeah. And so then,
That's why I'm always like, when you're in a relationship and you have good friends, you're always like, these motherfuckers are the ones that if anything happens, happens to me or we break up, they're swooping in. That's why, like, I never like, I don't know, I'm just very private. Like, I never talk about my business, especially to the people around me. I don't know, it's just maybe that's a bad way to be, but I always think about that. I'm like, it's always the people closest to you that are like, get right in there and swoop your away. I don't know. That's crazy. So how long were you married?
I was married for 2 years. But I
Okay.
think when my dad never apologized, like he never said, I'm sorry for how I acted. Here's how he apologized. Okay, typical Mexican dad.
Yeah.
One Christmas, my wife
Did he
and I.
like give you a beer? Like,
No,
give you a Corona and be like, hey, let's go out.
that's a good guess. So, we came down into because we were in Hawaii. That's why I was in Hawaii. And
Okay.
so we came into El Paso for the holidays, and we're all taking shots or whatever. And my dad was like, all the Nunez shots because we were with two families, right? It was us and my sister-in-law's family.
Right.
And so we're all drinking tequila, and my dad was like, Nunez, gather up. We're taking a shot. And so we all gather up to take the shot or whatever. And he calls her over and he goes, hey, you're Nunez. Let's go. Like you're taking a shot. And that's how he walked in.
Your ex-wife? That's cool.
And that's how he
Oh,
apologized.
that's how he apologized. Like, he's never sat you down and been like, Andrea, like, I
No.
fucked up. Like,
And it'll never
oh.
happen. And I've made peace with that. Yeah. No.
But do you think you need to hear that from him? Or, like,
I think it
I
would
mean,
be nice to hear it. I don't think I need it. I think his actions
well,
definitely.
maybe he'll listen to this and then he'll call you and apologize.
Maybe he will. Maybe he
I
will.
don't know, like, to this. He'll listen to this part. No, I mean, sometimes it's like, it's super rough. You went through that. And like, it's so sad to hear. Like, I personally didn't go through any of that. Like, my mom was super accepting. And I have, stories like yours and other friends that I have friends to this day that their family like just completely disown them, 10 years later, 20 years later, and they just want nothing to do with them because they're gay. And I love this quote. Once I don't, like a meme or something I read like many years ago, and it's like straight people are the one, it's something like straight people are the ones that make gay kids, something like that, And I just thought it was so funny, but like I always think about, who cares who you're with or who you love or who you sleep with or who you do anything with intimately, right? Like it's like no one's business. It's a and I don't understand why parents have such a hard time. Generations and change, and I think now like everything's so much more open, like and accepted, like in society, but I don't think that it's an excuse, I think that people need to love their kids no matter what. So I'm glad your dad came around.
No, my parents, and I'm, with the stories that you're talking about with, like, their parents and starting on up to this day, like, I'm very blessed that I have an amazing relationship with my parents, very open. And so, like, I can talk to them about just about anything. And so now it's just like, it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter whether I bring a boy home. It doesn't matter whether I bring a girl for, home. Like, they're very welcoming.
You're just you. They love you for you.
Yeah, and I think it's just helped a lot that they've realized how other people treat me, if that makes sense. Like, they realize that people love me because of who I am. Like, and who I am has a lot to do with how they, brought me up. So it's like, I'm this way because you taught me to be this way. And I'm not talking about like queer, I'm talking about like just how I am as a human, like, respectful, I'm kind, and I wouldn't say I'm a good person, because I like this good person identity, like, it doesn't allow for like anything else. Like, no, I'm imperfect, right?
No, but no one's perfect, but you are a good person. I mean, you're a strong Latina woman that's like come out from, nothing basically. Like you weren't given opportunities. You couldn't do much, and like look where you're at now. Like you got a UFC position. You've done so much already. So like it's, you're admirable. Like, and they have to see that. And I think that, I'd like to say that regardless if you didn't do anything professionally, that they'd still feel the same way now. But you're like, at the end of the day, I think that you are a good person. So you can't say you're not, is what I'm trying to
I like to describe
say.
myself as a kind person. Like, I will never go out of my way to, make anybody else feel bad or whatever. Like, I love to, like, I'm a hype woman. Like, anybody that knows me, like, they know I'm a hype woman. But I also don't ever want to mistake, and maybe this is like a Mexican thing, because like the saying is like, no me vas a ver la cara de pendeja, right? Like, tengo cara bonita, pero no
You
de
say that in English. You can't translate that in
So it's just like, So, but I really do think that you take away my career, you take away all of my achievements. Like, I'm still this amazing human being who's
You have a
imperfect.
good heart.
Absolutely. And I own that. And it's like, have I fucked up many times? Have I done the wrong thing many times? But I've always tried to be better, and finding ways of like how to be more self-aware, and like went through therapy. Like, I don't think people realize how hard it is to just everyday life as a queer Latina woman. You know how fucking heavy that is to carry every single day? I don't think people realize that. So it's like, I'm a
No,
minority.
people don't.
Within a minority, within a minority. I'm like, so it gives people ammo to judge me and to treat me a certain way, which, unfortunately, I've had to develop thick skin. And it is what it is. But I think that's why it's like, I try my best to be kind, because you never know what someone's going through, So it's like,
Well, I think you hit it right. Like it's like how you treat people is what matters. Like I've
absolutely.
always said, like I love that quote. That's like how you treat I treat a CEO the same way I treat a janitor. And
Absolutely.
that's how I grew up. Like that's how I was raised. And like one of my things is like when I go out with somebody, well, when I used to go out with somebody, and like how I think I've told you this before, like how somebody like treats the waiter, right, at like a restaurant, or like how you talk to like somebody in the industry, whatever, like some the cleaning lady in the bathroom, like you like there are people that look down on professions and on what people do, and yet you have no idea. Like this, and this is why I started this podcast. It's like everyone has a story. Like we all have stories and you have no idea. And I think kindness and being kind to people, like you can just say hello to somebody on the street and you might save them from killing themselves because you were nice to them. Like I think kindness goes a long way. And that's one thing that like you and I think, you know, we hit it off because of that from the get. So I'm like super blessed to know you. Like I'm happy I got to know you due to the show. So like
I
thanks to
know.
the show, you know, you came into our lives and stuff. Our like my friends and I, and I like want this friendship to be forever. And I can't wait to see what you do for real. Like I'm super proud of you. And like I want to come out to Mexico City once you're like all settled in,
We'll do
and yeah, and see you fight. I want to see you on the in the
it. I'm not gonna
ring.
fight. Okay,
Honestly.
get on the rear. I'll fight Chewy. Chewy's my brother for
Yo, we gotta get your brother in here next time. We should
you
have like you and Chewy. That would be sick. No, but like, yo, super like happy for you, and I hope like you know nothing but the best for you. Honestly, like I think to leave it, I want to ask you like what's your message for like your younger self if you had one? And I know it's like a cliche question, but I always think about this and everything you've gone through and everything you've like the obstacles you've overcame and like your family and coming out and like the professions and the sports and being a minority and all that stuff. Like, what do you think if somebody, you know, if you at 16, like if you were listening to yourself right now, like what would you want to say to that person?
That's a really good question because
And
I would try to buckle the fuck up because say that God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. Like I'd be like, you're on that list, girl. So you better fucking buckle up because we're about to
like
go
tough skin.
everything. Yeah, like, and I have been through so much that I feel like I'm only 30 years old and I feel like I've lived five different lives, you know?
Yes.
It's crazy. And so it's like I will tell her to buckle up, you know, but more than anything, never change. You know, like I would tell her, do not dim your light for others. Do not dim who you truly are for others, other people's comfort. Do not dim
Yeah.
your own culture to assimilate. You know, I would tell her to keep being loud. I would tell her to not worry about what other people think because it's like,
Oh.
why would I dim who I am for anybody? You know, and it's just
You should
like,
never.
never. That's just not a thing because
Yeah.
at the end of the day, whoever it is that I am and I want to be, I'm telling you, take away my career, my achievements, I'm still enough. And so it's like, that's the one thing that I would tell my 16-year-old self. Like, you are
Love
already
that.
enough for whatever it is that you want to
I
do,
love that.
because you existing and being true to yourself, you're enough. And
Oh,
so
I love that.
I just really like that's the message that I always try to tell, you know, especially women and women of color, like, no matter how much this world tries to put you into this box, break out of it. Stay true to who you are. Don't dim your light and be loudly you, you know? And so I
Oh,
think
yeah.
that's a message that I will continue to carry on with me because the world is not all bad. And I know that we see a lot of bad in the world, but if you
Yeah.
yourself can stay true to who you are, you allow others to do the same. You create an environment for other people to also come as they are and to just be them. And it's hard.
Be
And
accepted, yeah.
yeah, you have social media that's telling you should be this way and that way. And it's like, just in that sense of being yourself, that's rebellious enough.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, I love that message. There's gonna be so many women that listen to this and they're gonna love like hearing that and they need to hear that. So thank you for saying that.
Of
Like
course.
I'm gonna that should be on like a billboard. I
Yeah, and we'll get
love it.
there. Trust me. Quote me.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna have you back. Like when you're like super famous, I know it. No, you're doing big things, yo. Like I'm so happy to know you and you need to come to DC and visit
Oh,
like
I
ASAP.
will. Oh, well, I can't do ASAP, but I will be back and I'll definitely. It's snowing. I do not fuck with the snow. Okay, I left just in
Yo,
time. Yeah.
I know. I'm so pale. I'm like transparent. It's so like I have an Italian side coming out. I'm like, I need to start going to what's that tan, the Palm Beach tan or whatever. Is that still around? I need to start going to that shit because I'm so pale. Like I look in the mirror and I'm like, this is pathetic. You don't look Latina. That's what I think. Yo, Andrea, thank you so much. Like, this was awesome. Did you have a good time?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we haven't talked in so long. It was great.
I know. We haven't talked in a couple months, so I learned a little bit more about you right now, and I'd love to have you on like in a couple months to hear about, like the UFC
Yeah,
position,
because then I'll be able to talk
like, congrats on that. Like, I want to hear more about it. So whenever you're able to like open up, hit me up, and we'll talk more about that.
about it. Yeah, we'll do it for sure.
All right, I'm sending you much love from DC, from the snow.
I know.
Yep.
Much love from Vegas. I'll send
It's
you I think Friday we said we're gonna go rage, so I'll send you some
Friday. I have a party this Friday. You should come right here.
I can't.
I
This
know, I
is
know.
what
Vegas, no, Vegas is worth it. I love
for.
Vegas. I'm gonna come out and visit you soon.
Yeah, you should do it. I've already found some all women's parties in Mexico City.
Yo, I need a taste takeover in Mexico City.
You do.
You need to
I'm gonna
start.
send you a couple of pages that I've already found.
Awesome. All right, if anybody listens to this, we need a queer women's takeover in Mexico City with Andrea.
Absolutely. Yes. I will
If you're
host.
interested, Andrea, hit me up. Not connect.
All
All right, y'all. We'll talk soon. Thanks for
right.
joining. All right.